Have you seen the self-assembling chair that MIT created?
No, I haven't seen it. So is it like the chair making it chair?
Or? The chair the chair is just all the little parts, like the legs and mm-hmm. the part you sit on and the back and stuff. And they put it in like this fish tank. And then they have this jet like spin, just mm-hmm. tumble it in there. And the parts of the chair just have a little magnet on the ends. And if they tumble around enough, eventually...
Oh, so they found the local, the best like... Yeah. The antenna stable point.
Yeah. And so you see these parts flying around in this in this turbulent water, and then eventually one of them like clicks on. Mm, mm. And it's in fast forward because it takes forever. But eventually it becomes a chair, and they just turn the jet off and the chair just floats down. It's just like...
Sounds like a DNA origami to me, because people play around with these DNA, and they have these, you know, if you have the right pair of words, then they click. So they can make like smile faces and なんか面白いいろんな形を作れて、だからね、それの分子版だけど、それは椅子とかでもできたり、面白いですよね。
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's so machine-like, right? Like all this... Like DNA and all the little, like the smaller you go, the more machine-like it gets.
I actually thought about last night before coming here. I was thinking about if Michael asked me a question, what's the difference between like machine and life? What would it be? And I thought about it, and I think it's really hard to distinguish the two. If, for example, if there's a machine that can make its own self, that's literally like, you know, because it's getting, and then if the machine make a little bit of mistake or change parts, then that's basically doing evolution. So it's really going to be hard to distinguish, and then it's going to get energy from like whatever plugging into itself to whatever electricity. So it's getting energy from the surrounding environment. It's replicating itself and it's evolving. So it's basically life. The only difference is that machine, actually, you have to place all the parts in the right place, and each part only have interaction with its surrounding counterparts. Whereas life, if you look inside the cell, it is organized, but all these different proteins and compounds are all interactive. So it can potentially touch everything or almost like every single pair, but it wouldn't like mess up and still work and still organize. That's the only difference that I thought between.
It's kind of a robustness.
Yeah, it's a robustness. Yeah, because if you, for example, change parts A and B and C, if you switch that in a robot, it will probably screw up. So I think the trick about biology is the redundancy. Yeah, the robustness, or we can call it redundancy.
Yeah, I actually think not robots or computers. But artificial intelligence is the closest thing to life. That's what I think. And that can be in a computer. But whatever that, I mean, what do you think about AI versus evolution? Like the way AI will create a copy of itself and then create a minor variation of that copy and then compete against itself and allow the copy to kill itself. And it's like this artificial evolution.
Yeah, from the like evolutionary perspective, it's the same. The only difference is whether it has its own entity or not. 実体があるかどうか、情報として見たら基本的にはすごく似たようなことをやってますよね。ゴーストがあるかないか。まあ、あとはその周りにおいて、周りの環境も結構大事で、結構僕らはそのセルフコンシャスっていうか、自分を構成しているものが何かで考えちゃうんですけど、結局その個人では生きれない。 周りとのインタラクションで子が成り立ってるから、そういう周りの環境にどう置くかっていうところで、だからその AI の場合どういうふうにそういうエンバイロメントが 定義されてるかはちょっと僕は分かんないんですけど、うん、
確かに
例えばさっきのクローンの話でも僕と同じ子をマイケルに預けるかマミさんに預けるかで多分全然違う子に育つ、
うんうん、
でもそれはジェネティックがなせる技じゃなくてジェネティックが持っているポテンシャルをそのエンバイロメントがどうマニプレートしたかっていう話だから、うん、それはちょっと面白いなって思う。
I think AI right now is very much being intentionally limited. So it was like cloning a child and then they can only watch some, you know, they only work on some particular problem, like a very set, you know, block stacking thing or something. And we don't really let them play with other things. But in situations where they've had artificial intelligence inside robots that navigated the real world environment,
mm-hmm.
they noticed that they were creating neurons for different senses that, you know, have nothing to do with the instruction. It's just it figured that out because it tries so many different ways and it's failing like almost everything. And then it finds something that gives a better result and it adjusts and builds on that complexity and, So, yeah, I think we're a lot of smart people are scared of what would happen if we gave it a freer environment.
Yeah, good point. Because I think our movement is really manipulated by the society.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, we can actually walk or move whatever we want. We can do azarashi aruki if we want to, but nobody's doing that. Everyone's walking on like 2 feet.
Yeah,
and it's weird.
It is weird,
right?
But if you do the AI, if you let the AI come up with the best movement, the most like energy conservative move motion, it could be like a samba aruki. Actually, my friend did the samba aruki when he had broke his back.
Okay.
It was the best motion, not giving なんていうのこの負荷をかけないように背骨の負荷をかけない。歩き方で昔の日本人は実はサンバ歩き、
お侍さんとか
やってたんですよ。でも誰もサンバ歩きしてない。
確かに。
でも本当はした方がいいと思う。
I mean, people are wearing, you know, western suits and I mean we're so culturally defined.
Cultural norm を飛び越えてね。
でもそういう問題提起をしてくれるってことですよね、AI はね。
しかもこう人間だったら試すなんだろうバリエーションが少ないけどAI だったらね、何百何億っていうのを一気にやってもらえるから。
Yeah, our brains are not nearly what is it like? It's like 100 hertz or something computationally, whereas a computer can essentially accelerate reality. Like even like chemical processes, a computer can make it way faster than reality.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So we can, if we can just.Find things out by not actually ever doing them, but just running these crazy simulations, and then you just take the answer out, implement it into the real world.
Yeah, actually, even in my research field, I'm trying to make like earliest protein on Earth, like doing different combination of amino acids. It's so many combinations,
right?
That, like, say, well, the only number that we can test in the test tube is only 10, up to 10^12. But if you think about the entire combination, it's going to be way more than that.
Right.
Yeah.
So we definitely need like support from the AI. Try to come up with which configuration, like which molecular configuration is more, you know, giving more functionality, things like that.
なんかそういう予定ってあるんですか？
なんかもうね、AI を使ってそういうたくさん出てくる配列情報を分析させて、その中からいいものというか、そのランダムの中からどういうものがそういう生物学的な機能を持つかっていう予測をさせるっていうのはね、もうすでに結構やられ始めてて、多分これからそっちにシフトしていくと思う。それとあとロボティクスと組み合わせて、そのじゃあ実際に候補をじゃあ100兆通りから400万通りに絞りましたと、じゃあこの400万通りのうちに、4万分子をテストしましょうって言っても僕一人でテストできる数なんて限られてるから、多分ロボティックオートメーションが今後すごく大事になってくる。
なるほど。だから全部がもうスピードアップされて。
全部スピードアップ。
That's true for so many different fields. And then those fields, as they develop, some of these more specific fields will grow and exchange information with these other fields. And it just seems like, I mean, what do you think about speculation about a technological singularity. Do you believe that that's likely in the near future?
Well, I was actually talking to that with my friend doing deep learning. And he actually told me that maybe in like 10, 20 years, the AI will come up with the scientific hypotheses. So currently what we're doing as a human is we're reading, you know, previous like literature. But if you think about the number of paper that we can read per day, it's super limited. Whereas, you know, AIs can go through all the literature. Of course, they can, they rank which paper are fraud and which are more likely. And then they can go through that and come up with new hypotheses. And those, like, coming up with the hypotheses was one of the advantage of human being, like creative. Creativeness was one of our advantage, but that part could be even overtaken by
AI. Hypothesis から実際にやってみて、結果出すところまで。実験もロボットでやって、
全部で論文も全部書いてくれて、
全部自動で。
そう、だからアウトプットもまだねクラシックなんですよね。結局その論文も文字情報として残して、図も基本的に 2D、まあ一定 3D で出して、でこの多分フォーマットは変わると思うし、変えないといけないかもしれない。でも一番分かんないのはその工事のなんかもう高次元で全てがもう規定された時に、人間が認知できないような真実が出てきた時に How can we interpret that information? Maybe they need to, maybe AI need to convert these meta information to
ちょっとダメダウンって感じ、ね、だって人間に認知できないの出してもらってもじゃあ何のためにこれをやってもらってんだって話になりますもんね。
そうそう、まあ、でもそういう風な瞬間が来るかもね。それがシンギュラリティかも。つまり人間がもう認知できないレベルでの工事の知識体系みたいなものができた瞬間に、もう our brain is too
ちょっと追いつかない、
So you think it's possible thatthe sort of the final answers of the cosmos are could be completely incomprehensible to us, or just the explanation would have to go through an AI for us to really
we need like, an AI assistant to interpret.
AI interpreter.
多分両二つあるかも。 For example, だってほなすごくシンプルな数式もありますし、ね、シンプルな数式はもちろん我々が意識できるけど、我々の次元を超えた、例えば if we need to start thinking beyond three dimension, then we need to go into the mathematics. Mathematics can actually solve that. But interpretation of that high level, high dimensional なんかなんて knowledge は、みんなにそれを共通理解で与えるのは無理だと思う。
It's already happening with like the moon. Like a lot of people, when they think about the moon, they don't havethe same feeling about it or understanding of what it really is. You know, it's just like, oh yeah, the moon, and it's just like something that's in pictures, or it's something, you know, you look up and you see this white sphere, if you believe it's a sphere. But I've had this feeling several times looking up at the night sky, where if I see the moon is like lit from this way and the sun just went down over there, and then I see some planets like in line, and I know which planets those are. I see, you know, Saturn and Jupiter and stuff. My brain has this intense feeling that this feeling of like understanding, like I'm standing on Earth right now and I'm looking into space and I they're so far away and this, you know, but you know, most people, they look at the night sky and they don't know what they're looking at. It's just points of light. So it's like, before we even get to, you know, the fancy science, I feel like there's a huge, you know, just general disconnect from space and the context that Earth exists in. People are more worried about the Grammys or like, you know, Hollywood gossip, whatever. Right. Chores or their job or you know, selling air conditioners, whatever they're doing.
Right. Yeah. 難しいのはその there's a reality out there. 真実は絶対あって、
うん、
でそのサイエンスっていうのはその真実に近づくためのアプローチの手段の一つなんですけど、うん、リアリティを本当に知りたい人とリアリティを知らなくてもいい、イマジナリーのままで、いいっていう、多分結構そこが分かれるのかなと思って、うん、ただ僕とかは多分マイケルもそうだけど、うん、We want to knowThe actual like mechanism or like、yes. reality that's happening in this universe.
I have to know.、
Mm. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we want to know and we have to know. But maybe like many people, I don't know how many, but people are not taking, not caring about these facts or the real,、mm. the 真実、mm. That's out there.
If、yeah. you were raised in a particular religion, for example, you、yeah. kind of have aan existential substitute for the curiosity that not knowing what happening induces in you, right?
Mm-hmm. なんかもう answer があるもんね。
ああ、mm-hmm.
そのどうやってじゃあこの世ができましたか？はい、it's in this book みたいな。So, mm-hmm.
But some people, even they're not religious and they just, it's very terrestrial concerns.、Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, maybe that's fine too.But it's right there. It's so weird. We have to figure this thing out. I don't know how to really explain it, but、my modus operandi is like existential crisis.
But what do you think about if the truth is at the high dimensional level where human brains cannot interpret, then would that make you feel sad?
I don't know.I'm surprised we understand as much as we do. That's、mm. very bizarre to me. I wouldn't have expected that we can understand as much as we do. Very suspicious.、Mm-hmm. That's like unbelievably suspicious. like why would we be able to understand all of these things? Like,、mm.
だからやっぱり生物そうね。だから生物学やってて一番思うのは、あの物理とかね、化学って必ずそういう定理とか法則っていうのがきれいにあるんですけど、まあ、生物学があるんですけど、すごくその乱雑さを伴うというか、あのコンディショナルだし、すごくそのバリアビリティが高い、ある意味いろんな多分要素のミクスチャーで成り立ってるっていうところが面白くもあるし、すごくその学問を難しくしてるなって思います。でさらにそのon top of that, if you want to think about the origin of that,
right,
it makes the, you know, the question more difficult. でもすごくそのまあ、まあ楽しいですけどね、チャレンジングで、
ね、それが仕事ってすごいですよね。
なんかそれを仕事に今させてもらえてるっていうのが幸せだし、まあ本当に感謝っていうか、まあその研究所、そういうことを許してくれてる研究所とかにはもう感謝しかないです。
You're so close to something that really kind of recontextualizes what we are. You know, we it's almost like too intense to think about.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
You're saying you agree that it's likely that there are intelligent alien species in the cosmos. It would be stranger if we were the only one.Right. How likely do you think it is that they've visited Earth or are monitoring Earth or they've sent a probe to Earth? Are aliens listening to our conversation right now? And if not, why not? Because it would seem totally within their...
My ancient alien theory.
そう、あ、まあ、難しい。 いや、今聞いてるかどうかっていうのが多分大事ですよね。この我々が要は知性を獲得してからのこの本当に一瞬のような、flick of a second の間に訪れてるかどうかが大事なんで、そこは難しいですね。
They killed the dinosaurs. They redirected the comet.
They dropped the comet. They're doing that frequently, right? They're, you know,
so destructive.
The comet impacts are really interesting because it is sort of a, it functioned as an evolutionary reset mechanism for our planet.
Yeah.
And we likely, like the complexity on our planet likely progress at a faster rate including cometary impacts that would reset any sort of dominating dumb animal that eats things with its face.
Yeah, it's like a, if you, when you're playing an RPG and if you want to, it's kind of like resetting the whole, you know, exterminating. So 99% of whatever's out there. Schnitzed.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now we can stop an asteroid, right?
どうだろうね。いや、そこ僕もわかんないです。
でもそれがテストでしょ。
Yeah.
止めれるか止めれないかで。
We have Tsar Bomba. We have nuclear weapons that are so powerful. It's obscene.
So it's really up to when we can detect what's coming. ね。だから、even if we can detect, but if it's arriving to Earth too early, then we're out.
もう手遅れ。
Okay, so let's say the human species 100 years from now,
we have all the sensing, you know, sensories out there.
We're observing from Mars and from Earth, and nothing hides behind the sun and stuff, right?
Okay,
that totally changes the evolutionary pressure mechanism for our solar system, because there will not be a reset on Earth or on Mars anymore.
That's huge.
Yeah, and
we're better than the dinosaurs.
But it's like we turn the switch off, right? It's like, and those switch, that switch exists until consciousness emerges in any solar system, until that consciousness turns that switch off, right? And then, so you have to reach a certain level of like complexity before you have access to the switch.
To the switch, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there may be larger switches
Out there.
まだ気づいてないだけ。
いやでも怖いのはその僕らのを一瞬にしてその何ていうの
ワイプアウト
できる別の手法をもし彼らなんだか持ってるインテリジェンスがいたらどうしようもないですよね。でも例えば
もう諦めるしかない。
I mean even now we can probably if we really want toYou know, exterminate say 99.9% of organism on Earth. We can try. I mean, like dropping all the nuclear bomb on Earth, and
I think we have more than like, enough.
Do pandemic virus like spread out? And, 多分いろいろ多分方法はあって、でもそれを止めてるのは、まあ、まさに今我々が我々で今止めてるっていうだけだから、そこのねバランスが崩れた瞬間に。我々がだって今扱えるエネルギーってどんどんどんどん大きくなっていて、でもそのエネルギーを我々に向けたらもちろん、ね、ワイプアウトできちゃうから、結構そういう意味ではもろ刃の剣ですよね。ね。
Yeah, let's not wipe ourselves out.
Yeah.
Do you think that advanced civil? Or were you going to say something?
Oh, I was just trying to say, even if we wipe ourselves out, maybe something new might come up.We never know what that is. だから僕らは残念だけど地球の
新しいユニバース的に見たら
ワイパー早くに人間ワイパーとされろって
方が良かったかもしれない。
That's a very anti-evolutionary perspective to have. And anyone that has that sort of mentality would just eliminate themselves from the future, right? Like if you have any sort of self-defeating like loser mentality, that will likebe stopped by the laws of physics
right
and eventually right
so
it's like only entities that are obsessed with persisting will get to decide how we all behave.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so you can have like this, you know, peaceful like laid back country where people are like chill and stuff, and then you just get smashed by some other civilization. This has happened over and over and over. But evolution seems to say that weakness is not a virtue.
Yeah, weakness is not a virtue.
Yeah. And so as we become like more aware and empathetic and considerate, we rub against this more and more, right?
So, yeah.
We let people wear glasses. Instead of stomping on their glasses and venting them into space.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, my only thought is like we should probably cherish what we're, you know, the diversity that we have, and then try to max, you know, maximize this resource that we have as a human. So like exterminating like in a certain population is meaning that you're basically wiping out that
resource.
Right.
It's not optimal.
もったいない.
Yeah.
まあでも we can also create new diversity at the same time, because we're at the point where we can do all these crazy genetic engineering, and of course there's these like, you know, ethical issues, you know, together. But yeah, we're in a really weird world right now. Yeah. 本当に消せるし足せるし.
And it'll only get weirder, right? From here.
本当に.
Yeah,
it's not going to get less weird.
It's crazy to think how many different industries are just about to get really, really crazy, you know, and all at the same time. And it seems like it's all coming around within the next 5 or 10 years or so. And then within 15, 20 years, this world may be unrecognizable. Mm. You know, everyone will have donuts in their foreheads or whatever happens. There's going to be, I mean, we have issues with like social media and like the news and like how we establish what reality even is. Mm. And just so many things are shifting at the same time. It's, you have to wonder, like, should I try to pay attention to all of it, or should I just focus on this one thing, or like, how do you...
まとめてみた方が楽しいと思う。同時並行で起きるから、いろんなイノベーションが。で僕らの例えば移動パターンも全部変わるし、だって今住む場所って例えば仕事にタイアップされて住んでたりするし、その家からの距離とか。でも家が例えばシェアになって、で移動も全部オートメイティってなったら、住む場所変わるし働き方変わるし。
Right.それすごい待ってるよね、で田舎に住んででも15分で通勤できるとか、東京まで、That would be amazing.
You think it'll start to revert, like the population density of Japan could start to go back the other way?
I think people will become like, people will populate everywhere on this planet. そうだから本当に好きなところに住むようになり始めて、でそのトラベルコストが下がって移動速度が上がれば、You can be anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it could just go more and more virtual.
Or virtual.
What do you think of the idea that civilizations don't end up exploring outside, but they end up imploding? All the technology goes virtual and everything goes inside, and the planet becomes contained and very uninterested in like planets and like moons and like outer space.
I think that depends on whether your brain can be satisfied with just the information that your brain is getting. If your brain cannot be satisfied with just that, then we always need the 身体性, 体を伴うコーアクティビティが絶対第その脳の刺激に必要ってことになれば、僕らは物理的にいろんなことをこの体、あるいはプラスアルファでもいいと思うんですけど、多分やり続ける、でこの目で見たいとか、あの場所行って、でもそれは全部本当は you can actually manipulate that. You can actually put VRs and then you can have all the smell, you know, the sense thing, everything. 全部多分匂いも香りもその砂を踏む感覚も、多分全部マニピュレートできるけど、でも自分 but your brain knows that you're not there、and that's the point. If your brain knows that you're not there and if that doesn't make you satisfied, then you need to go、
What do you think about the fact that most human beings are in a larval state, placed in front of a television screen、and seem to be quite satisfied, neverReally,
でもそれも、バリエーションがあるじゃない、それで全然いい人もいれば、常に登山してる人もいるみたいな、
そうね。
But there's a lot of time and a lot of consumption of information that is very much screen-based, even for myself. And I do get satisfaction from screens and just information as well. I mean, in my brain, I'm like, it's Shogana, I can't go to Enceladus. But... But, you know, it if they get to this, you know, the VR, and then they get to the Neuralink, sort of the neural lace implant, where they can just replicate all the signals. So your brain creates reality just from electrical signals. And so you can just give your brain certain electrical signals and you can experience all of the sensations and everything, and you wouldn't know the difference. Yeah, and this could have already happened to us.
Yeah, if it's at that level, then basically it's almost, I mean, it's the same as you're being there.
Yeah.
But you can't...
You'd end up not going.
But you can't interact with what's out there, right? I mean, you cannot manipulate every single... Especially, for example, you cannot copy Mami-san's all the information in your virtual world. I mean, well, okay. So maybe, here's the thing.
I could, theoretically.
Maybe you could. Maybe you could.
In silicon.
Well, at that point, that's Matrix, and that's great. And,
でも逆にだから, I think I've said this before, but それが普通になったリアルにやることが逆になんかluxuryじゃないけど, なんていうの?
Well, it's dumb, because you might die.
Well, it depends on what you're trying to do, I guess.
Think about how scared people are today of getting injured, of having some medical problem, of, you know, any death is extremely traumatic for us.
But isn't that part of, like, your stimulus to your brain?
Yeah.
So, like, having the risk is another sensation.
Yeah.
And you don't get that.
You just need the sensation, though. You don't want the real risk.
But you know that you're not going to die.
Yeah.
I don't think... Because we do things that are, like, safe, and people still get a thrill from, like, roller coasters or, like, you know. It's still, like bungee jumping and like, skydiving. Like, we've changed the law to allow people to jump out of perfectly good airplanes for entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And then we know, you know, the odds of dying from that are, like, one out of whatever million.
Mm-hmm.
And still, I won't go. I still won't go, right? So if you compare the virtual experience where you get the full experience, except, you know, your base form of yourself isn't at risk, or do the same thing and just risk everything. I mean, you could live forever.
So
at this point, you could live thousands and thousands of years, and now you're going to go take your, like, flesh vehicle and go risk it doing something. That's crazy. I feel like people wouldn't do that.
Mm. But you're saying that you're totally fine with having your, like, head chopped off, and, you know, and what the rest of the information can be input as an electric signal.
Yeah.
And you're totally fine.
Well, that could have easily already, that could be the case right now, and I wouldn't know the difference, and apparently I'm fine with it.
Actually,
my neck's starting to feel a little bit weird.
As long as you're not aware of it, if you're aware of it, then it changes everything. Though.
Yes, but reality tends to be given out from, like, this. You would just inherit this. You'd be born into this world. Like, you wouldn't get a chance to be, like, aware of it.
Oh, so there's not even an option.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're choosing that, but, like, if you're born into that world without noticing.
Right.
Yeah, because we're born into this world that's like Disneyland.
That's exactly the same
as
what
we're doing.
Yeah, it's the
same. Yeah, so of course we're okay, right? Of course, because we don't know. But, or like Vanilla Sky とかみたいな感じで、なんか契約して、そのシミュレーションにいる間はシミュレーションにいるってことを完全に忘れた状態にさせられてるみたいな。
なるほど。
だったらまあ、わかるけど。
So you still make the decision to forget.
Yeah.
So you're the goatee guy in the Matrix that has the stake. He's like, you know, put me back in the Matrix and erase this meeting.
Yeah.
And I'll be really happy.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I won't care about this.
そうね、難しいな。いや、なんかね、いつも思うのは、その、体が脳に対するエンバイロメントになってるから、要は、首だけの状態と、首と体がつながって、こう、僕らが体を動かしたこの動きが、間違いなくそのままここに戻ってるでしょ、フィードバックで。だから、ここを切り離してる状態とついてる状態でのアクティビティは根本的に違うのかなって思ってたんですね。
You'll have a virtual body that sends all the appropriate signals as you navigate.
そしたらもうそれにアダプトするから、maybe that's
fine. もう変わらない。
So maybe, So there should be like a transition period, right? Where people, perhaps, because, まあ、あとは一つはほら、social, なんかバリアみたいなのがあって、例えば、 行きたいけどお金を払わないといけないみたいなコストが全部なくなった時、
うんうん、
世界中どこでももうほぼタダで行けますってなったら多分行く人は結構いると思うんですよ。 I think、
うん、
But then even after that people will start thinking, well maybe it's, you know, I'm too tired to get on this like, you know, space line for 1 hour, so I'll just sit back and
watch TV
っていう、なんかそういうトランジションモードがあるかもね。
確かにね、
段階的にね、
うん、
だからそのどこにでも行けるってなった時に行くのかっていう問題、なんかね、そのいつでもどこにでも行けるからいいや行かなくてみたいなこともありえない、
うん、
でも分かんない、僕多分まだ地球上で見てない場所いっぱいあるから、うん、絶対見れるだけ見て死にたいとは思ってるんですね、うん、それはやっぱり脳に入れれるだけその面白いインプットを入れ切ってから死にたいから、
うん
うん、
I want to see the weirdest things. I don't want to see anything normal、
うん、
because、
うん、
I feel like you have limited time, right?
right?
And you get the most information from the weirdest things,、
うん、
right?
right?
So as you're exploring, you're、running the edges, the extremes of、
うん、
like human culture orgeological features or something. You know, you go to see the volcano, you don't go to see, you know, just some rocks that you've already seen before.
Mm.
You know, and I think as a species, we are starting to apply that to the cosmos. And you see scientists like, this is really weird. This dark matter thing is really weird, or this dark energy is really weird, or these geysers are really weird, or, you know, and we're like,latching onto these and information dense
that's
opportunities.
The fun part.
I'm
doing scientists just because I want to, yeah, like you said, I always want to touch something that nobody have ever seen.
Yeah.
なんかその毎日なんか新しい発見があって、それは今僕しか知らない、それの連続なんですよね。
It's the new information.
そう、それがもう楽しくて、
Yeah.
That's what、ね、driving my、
確かにね、発表するまでは自分たちだけしか分かんないですもんね、地球上の。 That's really cool.
And if you get information that's, you know, someone else already had that information, it's like, wow, that what a waste of my time. I could have gotten completely new information that would have changed, you know. You bring this thing back from your experiment, and then you get to show the whole world. It's like, anyone that's interested in this thing, look, check this out. This is going to get your hair to stand on end.
Yeah.
And then people look at it like, wow. And then there's people, smart people that know stuff you don't know, that have amazing insights to what you
just presented.
And then it spreads.
Mm-hmm.
And then people are bootstrapping new ideas onto your idea.
So だからね、絶対新しいナレッジは本当はすぐ出した方がよくて、その今のサイエンスの一個ちょっとまあ問題点というか、どうしてもその研究費を得るために、まあ例えば論文を書かなきゃいけなくて、で論文書くためにはそのデータが出たものをまとめなきゃいけない、そこのタイムラグがある、つまり発見した時のこのワクワクは世に出るまで結構タイムラグがあって、それを待つのが結構辛いのと、だからその本当は一番いいのは、みんなどんどん新しい発見をするたんびにリアルタイムで出していくと、その本当はフィールドとしては一番盛り上がるやり方なんですけど、残念ながら今のそのそういうストラクチャー、マネタイズも含めてのストラクチャーがそうなってないですよね。
It's like a body that doesn't feel things for like 10 seconds or something, right? And then you're trying to coordinate these fingers, but the signals are all showing up on different times and
you, exactly.
Yeah.
仕組みの問題ですよね。
仕組みの問題ね。だから本当はなんかある例えば生命の起源研究とかにものすごく大きなお金がつけば、みんながもうオープンにどんどん研究をやって、すぐその情報をシェアして、さらに次へっていう風に進んでいけるから、本当は多分サイエンスそういう風にやるとものすごい勢いで進むとは思うんですけど、なかなか今ほら研究者同士のそういう、まあ、データの隠し合いじゃないですけど、そういうので結局2年やって出してみたら、もう他のチームが1ヶ月前に出しちゃってましたっていうケースもなくはないので、それってなんかもったいないなって思う。
そうですね、ダブルワークが世界中で発生しちゃってるみたいなことですもんね。 なんかこう頭いい人たちがね、こうそのダブルワークに時間とお金と頭を費やしてるっていうのは確かにすごいもったいないです。
It would this I guess the academic side of space research and in general I think is the problem is going to get worse, right? Mm. As there's more and more research and there's a lot more research coming from sort of the commercial industry side now.
Mm.
And the amount of papers that are coming out is just more and more and more. Mm. And then
でも逆にさっき言ってたみたいにハイパーセシスから最後までを AI がやるってなったら、
うん、
もうなんか分かった瞬間に公開して別にそのコンピートする必要がないみたいになる可能性もありますか、
ね、なんか今も RxPIV とか BioArchive とか要はあのパブリッシュする前にそのアイデアコンセプトはちゃんとペーパーにしてウェブアーカイブできるようになってるので、
うん、
そうやってある意味こう一回置いといて、このコンセプトは私たちがこのタイミングで出しましたっていうのを見せることはできるんですね。でも確かにマイケルが言うように今結構その短期的なアウトプットを求められていて、研究の多くはあの it's kind of related to like human base、like how does your research related to you know、make your life better とか、 なんかそのすごくその実装、社会実装に近いような研究分野にやっぱりお金もよく入ってくるので基礎研究はちょっと辛い部分はありますね。特にオリジナルライフとか So what? みたいな、
なんか一番大事でもあり、ただこう実装っていう面ではちょっと違うみたいなことですもんね。
What ends up what people end up hearing likeWhat people, the information that people, the general public, ends up seeing, is I think quite a different distribution of information than what I would select or maybe you would select, you know. And a lot of things are just these hype articles. You know, there's a study done; it's not really significant, but there's a visual element to it, so they can include images, artist impressions, and stuff that.People can misinterpret as like, you know, we found a planet somewhere exactly like Earth, and you know, like there's a bunch of that stuff going on in the media with science stories and news, and that seems to have just gotten much worse over the last few years.
確かに NASA もアドバタイズメント結構やっていて、例えばそのヒ素の細菌の問題になって、要はモノコっていうなんかヒ素を大量に含む池、なんかモノレイクっていうところから単離した微生物が DNA のリン酸の代わりにヒ素を使ってるんじゃないかっていうのが論文になってパブリッシュされたんですけど、でそれを結構大々的に宣伝したんですね、 NASA が。でも後からその論文がリトラクトになって、結構大打撃を受けたんですけど、その宇宙生物学そのものが、なのでそういう結構飛ばし記事じゃないですけど、割とそういう狙ってこうインパクトがありそうなものはこう記者会見開いてやってっていうのはまあありますよね。だから難しい。でも結構今パブリッシュされている例えば内容、じゃあ50年後見返した時にどれだけ正しいかって言ったら、ひょっとしたら正しいものは半分以上ないかもしれない。まあサイエンスっていうのはそういう部分もあるし、つまりその時点での最適な答えをまあ導いてまとめているだけなので、だから、まあ、そういう難しいね、本当の真実は常に載せれないというか、それを更新しながらの世界でもあるから、
なんかその。本当の研究者の人、本当の科学者の人たちって今藤島さんがおっしゃったみたいに、まあ、間違っていることもあるかもしれない、まあ、今は正しいって今のメジャーメントでは正しいけれども、それが更新された時どうなってるか分からないとか、まあ、絶対とは言い切れないとか、こうすごく言葉に気をつけてるじゃないですか。で一方ででもテレビに出てくるような人たち、その、まあ、しょっちゅう出てくるような一部のサイエンティストの人とか医者とかっていうのはなんか大型の人は絶対にこういう性格ですとか、 なんかこう結構 がっちり言い切ったりとか、うん、いやそこでこうなんだろう、サイエンスっていうもの自体への一般の人が持つ印象とか、うん、医者っていうタイトルを持つ人のに対する印象とかも結構こう影響されちゃってるなっていうのは、うん、もう日々感じるんですけど。
そうですよね。まあ、テレビ局がステレオティピックな医者はこういう人物像だっていうのを作って、
うん、
それに沿ったコメントをしかもピックアップしてるから、
うん、
そこの結局プロデューディレクターが変わらない限り、ね、変わらないですよ、
うん、
そのテレビにおけるお医者さん像とかサイエンティスト像は絶対変わらないから、
うん、
僕は PhD ホルダーの人がディレクターに入ったら面白いと思うんです。例えば本当にサイエンティスト経験がある人がディレクションしてやったら、
うん
そこは変わると思うし、ただそれはもともとバラエティ番組とかがクイズ番組とかを求めているような人じゃないかもね。
そうですね。
I think this format is like just having a long conversation asking questions about, you know, these topics is more, far more appropriate and engaging for what we're talking about. Like you can't do like, you know, really short like here's some expert and we're going to try to break it down. I feel like the most interesting parts of this are actually quite deep.
Mm.
And if you don't kind of get all the parts at the same time, you don't really understand like what it's really about or why it's so interesting.
やっぱりそもそも、まあ、普通のメディアだと例えばこう事前に質問を用意していて、で質問それを沿って聞いていくわけじゃないですか。でも実際にこう本当に専門家と話すってなった時にこっちがその事前に質問を全部考えられるようなそのおこがましいような状況ではないというか、うん、でこうは話してみてもらわないと何が聞けるかも分かんないじゃないですか、ね、実際は、うん
そうですね、
だからあんまりそういうこうプラットフォームがないっていうこと自体もちょっとなんか改善されたらいいなっていう。
そうだからなんかいい塩梅というかその研究者専門性が高すぎる、うん、で一方でその例えば質問する人 その科学リテラシーが低かったらそこでその ディバイドがあるわけですよね、
うん、
だから本当は両方歩み寄る必要があって So I think all, you know, all the I don't know, not only Japanese but human beings should try to increase their like scientific literacy、
うん、
その knowledge をもうちょっとこう高めてもらって同時に I think the scientists should、try hard to do more outreach to the public、
mm.
so that people can understand what you're working on、
mm.
I mean that's the whole point because if they cannot understand then、
yeah.
who can evaluate
I always、mm. feel like the、mm. like scientists and communicators are often quite timidAbout what they're presenting, and it's like, oh, this is kind of boring, and it's too technical, and it's not that interesting, and as soon as you preface it with that, people are just like shutting off. Like, I really think it is fascinating for and anyone that really, all you have to do is understand it, and then you will be fascinated, and it will be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I just cannot believe that someone could really understand what's going on and not be interested. I think mostly people are not understanding.
I totally agree. Yeah.So the first step is very important. The introduction、
mm.
is very important. I sometimes give lectures to the high school students.、
Mm.
They love the talk. I mean,、yeah. maybe it's because I'm talking about like space and the origin of life and trying、mm. to find life out there. The topic is really unique and fascinating.、
Mm.
So it's actually catchy. It's easy for them to get, you know, interested.、Mm. But still, I think it's important to like break down your interest and try toexplain in a you know easy words as possible、
mm.
うん、本当にだからでもね大学の先生も結構その講義とかするときにすごくそのやっぱり自分の内容を説明するのが難しいみたいで、
mm.
結構専門性の高いことをやってるから、
mm.
ね、なんかいい方そこをこ うまく間をつなぐいいプラットフォームがあるといいと思うんですけど、
うん
ね、まあ、それこそなんかそういう例えば AI とかになんか例えばじゃあ私がこれまでやってきた研究の論文はこれですとか資料これです全部与えたらそうすっごく分かりやすい
ダイアグラムにしてくれる
とか そうすると大学の教員の負担も下がる。
確かに
今なんか教えて研究して申請書書いて論文書いて学会行ってを全部、だからある意味マイクロマネージ全部それを一人でやってて中小企業の社長みたいになってるんで、そこをもう少しこうね、あのアウトソースしていくといいかなと思うんですけど、
ね、ラボの人員も抱えて、
うん、
大変ですよね。リクルーティングもしてとか、
リクルーティングもして、
うん、
みんなに給料出してみたいな、
給料出してで何買うか決めて、ね、研究費取って、
ね、
学会発表して論文書いて
大変すぎる
、うん、まあ、でも、まあ、楽しいんですけど、
うん、
まあ、多分大半の研究者はすごくやってて興味があって楽しいからやってると思うんですね、
うんうん。
It's so crazy to me that we still don't understand abiogenesis and like the emergence of life. People have been studying this for quite some time. It seems like we have made a lot of progress and we are understanding kind of subtle things about what's going on there. But what do you think will happen when we finally understand it? Or like what kind of effect do you think that would have on human beings? I guess there's two scenarios. One is we are its descendant, or it's completely unique from us, which would imply that life can emerge in all kinds of places.
Right? Yeah. Well, first thing we need to do is probably first go out into into the solar system and search for evidence of life, because I think that's the first like step to, how do you say, defy the hypotheses whether panspermia happened or not. If we actually find life on Mars beneath the surface, and if they have a genetic material which are common to us, then that means we're from Mars. But the question still remains, then how did Martian life came about? So the question is now shifted from Earth to Mars.
Right.
If we can find life on the icy moon, which assume that the material transfer has never occurred, then that's great. That means this is a whole two set of life emerged on within the solar system, perhaps around the same time or different timing. And that's great. Then we can compare two different biological systems and take consensus. And from that consensus, we know what are the empirical, aspects of what life is. So that 比較生物学が初めてその時できる。今やってる比較生物学は地球生命の中の比較生物なんで、それだと地球生命のことしかわからない。で、if both case fails, then we really need to seriously think about how life could have emerged on Earth. Aside from alien seeded Earth.
How can we disprove that one?
I don't think we can disprove that one. Yeah, it's almost impossible. まあ無理だよね、それは。だって、エビデンスを見つけるの難しいから。
Maybe we could prove that one, though.
もしでも、例えば、そう、もし僕らのゲノムの中に二次情報が書き込まれてて、その情報が明らかに、はい、僕たちここにいる、やっと見つけてくれたねみたいな情報だったら、OK みたいなふうに思うけど、
Somewhere in the junk of DNA.
そうじゃないとしたら、やっぱりね、ground up で考えて、Well, there's two approaches. There's one approach from the in artificial life. They're looking at the complexity, how complexity arises from single, simple combination of compounds. And it's basically like a transition.So 1 plus 1 is not 2. 1 plus 1 is like, no.
8
or something. Yeah, 8 or something. そうだから、そういうなんか artificial life の方からのアプローチもあるし、僕はあのmolecular biologist だから、分子生物学だから、その what sort of compounds can we expect to exist on Earth and where? だからどこでどういう分子が、あの集まってアセンブルできるかっていうのをすごくフォーカスして考えてて、だからそれは、地球上で考えるとそういうなんだろう、ホットスプリングみたいなところでもあるし、あるいはそのディープシーハイドロテルモーベント、でそれぞれの集まりやすい分子が違う、で濃縮メカニズムも違う、で得られるエネルギーも それぞれちょっとずつ違う。例えば、うん、あの地表だったら UV ラディエーションでできる結構複雑な分子とか、うん、あるいはそこで得られるエネルギーもある、フォトケミストリーとか、
うん、
でディープシーハイドロサーモベントだったら最近は面白いのは電気科学っていって、実はそのチムニーの内側から外に向かって電気が流れてるってことが分かって、
うん、
要は電子がすごく、電子がリッチなあのフルイッドっていうか、あの流体が下から来て外に向かって電子が流れていくから、
うん、
それは電気なんですね、
うん、
で電気が流れてる、
ちっちゃいピカチュウとか、
そうピカチュウでそれを使って生きる菌もいて、
うん、
電気性細菌っていうか電気を取り込んで、
うん、
その還元力として redox、 あの reducing energy として使って生きてる菌もいて、
うん、
でだそういうことで、しかもまあ最初はそういう生物いないから、もちろんただその電気が流れることによってその上で有機物が変化していく、
うん、
まさに chemical evolution driven by electron っていうのが今起きて
る。すごい。
でその研究をやってる人が今エルシーにいて、北大さんっていうんですけど、あのジャムステックに今度移られるんですけど、
ね、ああそうなんです
ね、はい、なのでそういうこともある。
すごい。
だからそのエネルギーリソースの違いとか、あのオーガニックコンパウンドのディストリビューション、
うん、
それらを組み合わせていろんなものをこう実験室内で再現して、うん、いろんな環境でどこでどこまでエボリューションが起きるかって見てて、一番大事なのはおそらくオートキャタリス、あのつまり自己触媒、いかにそのリアクションネットワークを壊さずに、うん、反応が壊れないようにさらにこう複雑化していくか、
うん、
全部デッドエンドに行ったらね反応止まっておしまいなんだけど、
うん、
デッドエンドに行かずにこう複雑さを増しながら新しいコンパウンドを作って作ってっていう繰り返しで、で理想はその中で拡散みたいなものができてくると、そこから RNA の紐ができて、でアミノ酸ができてくるとタンパク質みたいなものができてくると。
すごい。
で紐がそれぞれできるようになると、今見てるような生物がやってるキャタリシスみたいな、ああいう触媒反応と遺伝情報の受け渡しが同時進行していけるかなっていうところで、スイートスポットはどこですかっていう多分最後質問になります。あの、
うん、
where can all this happen、
うん、
でひょっとしたら一箇所じゃないかもしれない。もちろんその深海で全部できたらいいって、例えば高井さんは多分そういうふうに考えてるかもしれないし、まあ、陸派の人は全部その温泉前でできればいいよねって考えるかもしれないけど、
うん、
温泉の水、温泉の中に含まれている有機物が海に流れ込んで、でそこでその海の中でさらに反応してっていうシナリオを考えてる人もいて、そしたら両方必要ですよね、
うん、
でエンセラダスの場合は海しかないから、
うん、
So this is the fun part. If we can find life in Enceladus、
うん、
we may not even need land.
そっか、だから陸派の人が悲しむ、
陸派の人は悲しむ。でもそれは It wouldn't deny life on Earth
because right, right.
ひょっとしたら Earth life needs land to start with. そうだから必要、最低条件じゃないけどねってことですね。だからエンセラダスで生命見つかったら、海だけで生、いやそういう熱水と岩石の反応で生命は埋めると。
うん、
でもそれは地球型の生命じゃない生命だってしたっていう話かもしれない。
Do you think it's possible that we are the, or our planet, or our solar system is the true origin point of life in the entire universe?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Just probabilistically seems unlikely. But it's possible.
I definitely need an information about the distribution of, for example, if we focus on Earth-like planets, there's so many out there.
Mm-hmm.
For example, if we think about the number of stars in this Milky Way galaxy, there's like 4,000億個とか。で、Earth-like, the average number of planets per central star is like, I think, close to one.
Mm-hmm.
So you have like average at least one planet per solar system, upper なんていうの、star system.
I think it's like 2.5 per star.
ってことはすごい数ですよね。It's like 数千億。
Right.
でその中で少なくともに、あの地球みたいなハビタブルゾーンにまあ入ってるものだけに絞ったとしても、 おそらく数十億個あるとすると、mm-hmm. like one, say one or two billion、mm-hmm. Earth-like planets.
And what if that only results in one?
And the question is, like, which one, which one start to harbor water on the surface?、
Mm-hmm.
で、ランキングして、mm-hmm. もしそのランクが出たときに、地球がソーラーシステムの中でかなり最初の方に水が、
mm-hmm.
あ、最初の方でにできたプラネットですね、mm-hmm. ってなったら、maybe we could be...one of the first、
mm-hmm.
at least in our galaxy でも違うかもしれない
there was a paper about that right なんか地球が結構最初の方にここまでできたあのプラネットっていうなんか可能性があってだからやっぱそうすると、mm-hmm.
there are much older stars ここ than our star though
but what was the I don't remember
there's an old star but those stars could be the second generation、
hmm.
and if it's the second generation they don't have enough complexityin the elemental table、
mm-hmm.
so yeah there's、mm-hmm. that as well
what if、this RNA self-assembly or whatever the first part of this、
mm.
becoming life process、were to start somewhere in the universe would you expect that process to also occur、mm-hmm. in more or less uniformly across the universe,、
yeah.
universe or would there be a significant time delaybetween the first one and the second one.
Mm-hmm. So from the cosmochemistry perspective,、these compounds that end up being like amino acids or sugars or base, it's these like conglomerate of all these different atoms, right? And then、mm-hmm. if you hydrolyze it, なんか加水分解って言って水で分解していくと you get all these like bits and pieces of building blocks of life.、
Mm-hmm.
And this is probably commonin this universe、mm. so you can get all these different building blocks、
mm.
and the reason why these building blocks are used by life is just because they're abundant、
mm.
たくさんできるから多分使ってる、
mm.
で、and that's like probably uniform I'm not like I don't know about the distribution but 多分どこでもできる、
mm.
こういうあの炭素とか窒素とか酸素とか水素が混ざったもの、
mm.
だから building block is out there the question isWhere can those molecules accumulate?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Probably any planet can do that. Because if you think about the convection, like say mm-hmm. the hydrothermal system
mm-hmm.
Or like hot springs, for example, mm-hmm. as long as there's enough water and mm-hmm. as long as there's this water convection mm-hmm. going and water, and there's going to be these like mineral surface that absorbsthese molecules、
mm.
and concentrate them. だから、mm. 多分どこでも起きると思いますね。少なくともあの chemical evolution、mm. はどこでも起きてると思う。
How many years do you think there would? This is a very difficult question. How many years do you think would there be after the first emergence of life and the second? Like, what are the odds of that、oh. RNA actually assembling?You know, is that a million years? Is it a billion years? You know,、mm. what... We really need to know well, what the probability is.
Okay, so first of all, the candidate for the genetic material, there's going to be so many. I mean,、
mm-hmm.
mm.
we're using RNA and DNA, but like chemists making all these different bizarre polymers、
mm.
that can actually do the sameinformation transfer、mm-hmm. so if you think about that there are so many other possible molecular candidates that can become a genetic material、
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
and the chance of getting those materials in other planets could be I don't know equally you know plausible、
mm-hmm.
Depending on whether those molecules can accumulate on a certain place、
mm-hmm.
and the timing wiseI don't know.、it depends. So there's this question of when did these chemical evolution starts to occur? Is if there are people focusing on molecules that coming brought in by meteorites, and that's happening like after the main formation ended, you know, after the magma ocean,、mm-hmm. the earth starts to cool down, you get these rain pours, and you get the ocean.And then、mm-hmm. you still get these bombardments coming in.、
Mm-hmm.
and bringing all the materials to Earth. Mm-hmm. And that's where these compounds wouldn't break apart, because in the magma ocean, everything will be destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
But after getting the ocean, the bombardment, the material will mm-hmm. remain intact. So this will happen probably depending on the size of the planet and depending on the material that's forming that system. Mm-hmm. The flux of these materials will be different. その要は星を形成している時のコンディションは多分その構成形によってまちまちで、それぞれその もたらされる材料の数も多分違う。けど少なくともコンセンサスはもちろん冷えて海ができて、海ができてから降ってきたものは残ると。で同時にあとは地球上であるいはプラネットの上でできる分子もあって、それは例えばユーリー・ミラーの実験、like Yuri Mirror experiment where they did a mixed gas and electric discharge、なんかあの、ね、稲妻を落としてあのそこでガスを反応させて有機物を作るっていう実験をユーリーとミラーがやったんですけど、それはまさにその地球の大気で起きている反応、なので2つですよね。 Material brought from space and material made on that planet. And it's a mixture of both. And it depends on what are those materials and how they can end up being accumulated in one single pond or multiple ponds or deep sea hydrothermal vent or somewhere else. だから、で、マテリアルで考えるとやっぱりできやすいものは決まってる。で、さっき言ったその我々の生命を司る分子、アミノ酸とか糖とか脂肪、リピッツとか脂肪酸とかヌクレオベースとか核酸とかはちゃんとあるから、やっぱりこういうものを、のコンビネーションが徐々に徐々にこう発展していったって考えてるのが今のコンセンサスで、これはおそらく他のプラネットでも起きます。 So this should happen in other planets、and the timing is when they cool down、right? So when they can actually at the right temperature with the right redox potential、when they can actually start doing、these chemistry on the planet.
It kind of seems like the cooling down is really where the complexity emerges、in our universe, and as things cool, morecomplexity emerges and more things become possible. You know, it seems like a lot of the timing is just like waiting for even the very early atmosphere or universe. It was just the cooling that was necessary to form certain atomic or chemical bonds.
Yeah. And also let the light like
go
straight. So cooling actually
that was a big deal.
So だからcooling actually helps certain material to stabilize. And なんかこうローカルミニマムに落ちていくみたいな感じで、あの決めどんどん規定していく、あの決めていくというか、どういうものが残るかって。
It's like the cooling is almost like revelatory. You know, the universe is kind of, as it cools, it's like showing complexity that wasn't really possible or visible before. I think we're just part of that cooling, right? We're just like
yeah.
Because the cooling actually limits the state and condition of how molecules can behave, and where are the consequences? I mean, where are the consequences of that cooling? I mean, the stars, the planets are the consequences, and where are the consequences of the planet?
And then we have these, which are really cool, right? Like machines, they're very cool.
Yeah.
And then you get more like information to energy ratio.
But that's the fun part, because in order to actually 精錬する, extract the metals, we actually are using extensive heat to remove these metals out of the rock, you know, the raw material. So that's something that we're going reverse, but actually then cooling down again.
Yeah.
In order to get that. Yeah.
But the ways we produce and manage energy, it's all going to become very, I think, solid state and very cold. You know, and we'll probably just put our servers in space so we don't have to waste so much energy cooling anymore. I don't know.
そうね。そうだから、あの、
just imagine massive alien space servers.
でも確かにそうかも。だって僕たちがやってるのは生化学ってバイオケミストリーっていうのは炭素ベースのケミストリー、
うん、
でもシリコンベースっていうか要は、ケミストリーって他の金属とかベースに全然行っても OK なわけだし、うん、電子のやり取りだから結局は最終的には、
うん、
で僕らはそのいろんな有機物に電子を乗せて受けはいどうぞってやってるだけで、
うん、
別にそれはねあの形を変えたものがそれこそコンピューターだから、
うん、
なんか外から見たらなんだベースマテリアが違うだけじゃんって、
うん、やってることは
一緒だ
一緒じゃん、
エレクトロントランスファーしてるだけじゃんって。
Yeah, well, have you seen the skit where these guys are like, aliens come to Earth, mm-hmm. and they're like, yeah, they're made of meat. These beings are just completely mm-hmm. made of meat, and they think, you know, it's like, what? They don't use, like, transistors, they don't use, like, it's like machine aliens trying to understand how the hell biology does this stuff.
Oh.
It's like, no, their brain is basically made of fat, and it's like,
yeah,
it's just like this meat, weird. And it just flaps this meat thing on the front and makes like vibrations, and then the other meat thing like
responds.
Absorbs it using meat, right? Like meaty eardrums, and
that's true.
And then it's all processed just by meat, just meat. And then
doesn't make any sense.
And then you realize that the only thing you've ever done your entire life was send a signal from your brain to move a muscle. And you've never done anything other than move a muscle.
Right.
Right.
Well, yeah, producing heat and maybe a little bit of like magnetic radio.
But the signals radiation. That leave your brain mm-hmm. are all muscle.
Yeah. Multicell. Yeah. Yeah. Just a specimen, right? I mean structured like organs, or I'd say.
Yeah. But it's like when you speak, or if you look, or if you type, or anything you do, it's just moving this body. Mm. Like we don't have any output other than, than sort of muscle.
そうだね。
You're just sending signals to muscles, and that's the only interface that your mind has with reality.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah, we don't have a control of like the heat that we're producing. And yeah, just... あのスーパーなんだっけあのアイスマンみたいな人以外はね
あいやいやいや
コントロールできる
人
コントローラブじゃないもんね確かに、
yeah.
Yeah.
Just muscles, that's it. From the moment you're born until
But that's proactive, right? Like that's For example, if someone's monitoring you、
mm-hmm.
You could まあでもそっか確かに目の動きとかも全部 Your muscle is moving there、
yes.
確かに不思議
So the IO of your brain, the O, is only muscle.
You're trying to figure out where life came from by moving your muscles, right? Just by that.
Yeah.
But the movement is important. でも動きは大事ですよね。でもなんか動くことで、その例えば必要な餌を取りに行けたり、その情報をトランスミットすることができるようになって、で、センシングとかもできるようになったしでも面白いのは植物は動きを捨てたよね So the plants Well they're actually still
I think
like, Aren't they just really slow
I thought they started without it
They're actually like Well one of the reasons they stayed and they start to stay in one place is because they can photosynthesize and they can fix carbon and nitrogen so they can get all the nutrients from basicallylike gas like inorganics demo like for us like animals we need to move because we need to gain what we need to I mean like energy right but I think at this point we're going beyond that we're moving not only just to eat but to other also to different activities
well, I think it's kind of a conquest of dimensionality. So you start with kind of just basic, really basic sensors, like is there light or is there no light kind of thing. And then the plant doesn't get to really have the third dimension, which animals have. And then once you're at animals and you have language and consciousness, I think you get to the fourth dimension, where you start thinking really in terms of consequences and causality mm. and the future and the past. And most animals are just living in the present. It's really the consciousness stage you get to this. And you wouldn't even know that this stage existed mm-hmm. until you got here, right? I don't know if there's another dimension after yeah. this. Probably just omniscience and omnipresence. Mm. Like you won't have to have a perspective mm-hmm. as much. You could have, like you don't have to be here, right? So once we get past the ego thing,
right.
then we'll further expand our dimensionality again.
なるほど。
I think.
空間的に要はいろんな場所に同時にいれるような感覚になれるっていう。
Mm. Mm. And I think that's what artificial intelligence is. Mm. That's what it enables, is the next conquest of dimensionality.
面白い。なんか量子的ですね。You can be at two places.
yeah.
Beyond time and yeah. space.
Because... the artificial intelligence gets past the ego thing by constantly murdering itself in, mm. when it iterates. Yeah. Like our ego makes it so we pay attention from one place, mm. right? And we have one mind, I don't even know what you... One reality. yeah. But you could have an intelligence that's much more spread out and mm. doesn't have a sense of being somewhere.
Do you think our brain can interpret like information, like, you know, being at two different places simultaneously? I kind of thought about that. For example, like extending our, like our, putting two more arms, mm-hmm. actually our brain can do that. Your brain can actually mm-hmm. move mm-hmm. four hands
mm-hmm.
and you know, take care of those.
Yeah.
Huh.
But
well, in video games, we do it, right? You have so many weird controls for things like that are attached to you, like shoulder cannons and stuff that like, and your brain just maps all the controls, mm-hmm. you know, in like 15 mm-hmm. minutes of yeah. playing True. And then you're going and you can be like, you're that thing now,
mm.
you know?
Yeah. So I want to know how far we can push ourselves.
確かに、そんな余白があるのか。
そうそう。ただ、at the same time, we're spending so much energy for our brain. Like, brain is basically consuming like half the energy that we're spending mm-hmm. per day, something. Oh, depending on how much you're active. But
yeah.
あの、だから、どれぐらいその使えるかっていう、overheating せずに。
But that reminds me of what Shimizu-san was talking about, like using left brain and right brain separately, simultaneously. Like, and he can do it. Like, he's done enough exercise that その目の前の人と例えば喋りながらここにこう黒板を思い浮かべて計算するとか、mm. 今日の流れをただこっちはビジュアルじゃないといけないらしいんですよね、mm. でもそれをやってるとすごい疲れるって言ってて、mm. めちゃくちゃ疲れるしなんか毎日何時間もそれをやってるとちょっとおかしくなってきてなんかこうふとした時にやりたくないのにこう二画面っていうかみたいな状態になってこう飛び込んできちゃうみたいな。だからそれは多分オーバードライブの状態ですよね。多分余白を煮詰め込みすぎた結果みたいな。
It's like if you had eyes in the back of your head, how would you process that visual information? For us, it's very like, how can I pay attention to like what's in front of me and what's behind me? That seems ridiculous, right?
But I think people can do that if you're used to that, right?
Yeah, I think you would get used to it, and I think we sort of do that passively with our hearing and mm. other things. We have kind of a subconscious mm-hmm. threat detecting thing going on.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could equally pay attention to both, but it seems possible.
ね、そのリミットを確かに知りたいですよね。どこまでできて、どこまでは、なんだ、できないとか。
できないかっていう。
とかできるけどめちゃくちゃ疲れる。5分やったら疲れるとか。
多分今でもできますよね。例えば、2箇所にサイボーグを置いて両方ともマニプレ動かしてくださいっていう実験をやったら多分最初はこう片方動かすのに精一杯で、
うん、
でも片方動かしながら今度こう右のやつを動かすようになってで気づいたら右のやつも同じように動けるようになるとか、うん、訓練次第だと思います、ね、
しかも特に子供とかだったら一瞬でできるようになりそう、
うん、It's just how you can develop your neural network
Right
Yeah
we're so adaptable.
Yeah.
compared to other creatures.
Yeah.
And it's like that's, we're so well made for exploring and being curious.
Mm. Yeah, thanks to our rewiring system, mm. that Kassel said, we can forget, we can add, we can restructure. That's the beauty of our neural network.
You can seemingly do it yourself,
right?
You know,
right.
like it, you'd, if you were an animal, you'd sort of nibble on grass for a while and hope that your child did it better. Mm. But we can like change ourselves in real time.
Yeah.
And
where do you see the whole life thing going? Now that we know life exists, we're fortunate, so lucky to be the evidence that we're looking for. Unfortunate to, it's like there's a puzzle and the puzzle is ourselves, you know, which is kind of abrasive to the psychology of our species. And we end up with a lot of like exciting TV shows about these subjects, but it's such a privilege and an opportunity that we have such an amazing mystery still ahead of us. If we were born, you know, in the future and they already figured it out, that's not nearly as fun, right?
Yeah. I'm actually doing one project. It's like an art science project called Fantasia. And we're actually trying to leviate from the typical like phylogenic, the tree of life. Because all the life that, as we know, is grounded onto this tree, is somehow rooted. But now we're at the point where we can make materials of, for example, a fantasy animal. So what we actually try to conceptualize is whether we can make, a hair of a hippogriff or of like a griffin. And where these fantasy animals are located is basically like, if you think about a three-dimensional tree, you have the eagle and you have the horse, and like hippogriff is right on top. Like it's not on that two-dimensional tree anymore. But we can, and the artists, like, you know, back in the days, they can envision this fantasy animal, they can draw the animal, visualize it. But now we can actually materialize it. We can design, for example, a cuticle protein. You get the sequence information of the cuticle protein from a lion and from a horse, and much of that, an eagle. Design it so that you make this 50%, 50% chimeric sequence, which will end up, we calling it as like a griffin hair. And you can actually make this protein using the biotechnology. And make a griffin fur. So
that's weird.
So I think, where life is going is a good question.
Imagination is where it's going.
I think it's going into our imagination, and we're basically at the point of, I don't like recreating the actual animal, but I like the concept of using or materializing the actual, like, say, imaginary, like, animal. And we're at that point. So, it's still like a concept base, but we're trying to make this happen. And it's kind of nice that the industry, the whole fashion industry, is now moving away from the real fur.
Right.
Like, you know, why do we need to kill animal in this era? But still people don't want to also use the synthetic fur because it's coming from, you know, like oils and, you know, petroleum.
Real fur from synthetic animals is okay.
Real fur from synthetic animals.
Because no animal's dead, right?
No animal's dead. Yeah. And you get, like, if you look at the tag, like, label, you get, like, 70% griffin, 30% hippogriff.
That's so cool. I want that.
So you think we can create, like, living animals from, like, synthetic?
Maybe we... So people working on, like, synthetic life. Artificial life. その人工生命を細胞みたいなものを作るっていうのがあって、well, there's this like really fascinating学会 called 細胞を作る会 and people in the synthetic biology field, you know, gather and talk about, hey, we made this like vesicle that can self-replicate, and mm-hmm. we made protein expression inside the vesicle mm-hmm. and so on. And recently, my colleague, Kurumasan っていう研究者がいて、その方はその光エネルギーを使ってそのエネルギー ATP を作って、でその ATP を使ってタンパク質を中その膜の中で作るっていうところで、
うん、
でそのタンパク質がまたその光エネルギーを使って ATP を作るっていうサイクルを完成させたんですね、うん、だからもう生命 0.7 ぐらいまで来てるぐらい、
wow.
だからそういう I think so the next decade will be an era of artificial life 人工生命、うん、and it's still based on the whole system like central dogma ofLife as we know, but still we could perhaps come up with self-replicating, self-reproducing, evolving, なんか membranous entity from scratch.
Wow.
Like Craig Venter is also trying to make a minimal genome and、mm. あのなんか人工ゲノムを使ってで、それのあの we can design our own genome, like own minimal genome,
right?
And then、mm. let it replicate. And that point, it's not gonna, that life is not gonna be placed on the tree as we know. It's gonna be、mm. somewhere close to the edge tip of this phylogenetic tree,、
right.
but it's not on it. So we're gonna be moving into, we're gonna shift into the three-dimensional tree of life.
Wow. しかもそれができたらそのユニバース的に見て、うん、ライフが存在する最、条件が一つ増えるってことですね。
そうなんです。
人間がいればいい。
でだからそのこれまでの系統に乗ってこないそういう生命らしいものを作るっていうのは、同時にこの宇宙における生命、どこかにいる生命をひょっとしたら作ってることにもなって、
うん、
ちょっとアストロバイオロジー的にも面白くて、
うん、
だからその生命らしいものをいろいろ作っていくことが、ひいてはそのこの宇宙で誕生しうる生命のある形かもしれないっていう、
うん、
で、そうでさっきのマテリアルは、なんでマテリアルでとどめたいかっていうと、 We don't want to make the real griffin. I mean, some people say, well, it's cool, please make griffin. But
I'm sure they will.
でもそしたらちょっとなんだグリフォンにしてみれば、like where, like why am I here みたいな、なんで、
yeah. その、but that's the same question we have, so it's just like help figure it out, Griffin, stop whining and help us find the answer.
まあそうね。
That's why you're here.
Well, we're kind of doing that with dogs and stuff too, right?
そうね。
うん。On a smaller scale.
Yeah.
うん。まあある意味そのマニプレイして、うん、そう言ってみれば、だからその進化の方向性を人間がね、
うん、
こうトゥイックしてるんですけど、
うん、
でもう一つはだからこれだけいろんな遺伝情報が今アーカイブされてるから、例えば宇宙に行くときにそのオールエースライフでその有効活用して、例えば火星で役に立つとか、宇宙に出ていくときに役に立つ新しいそういうマテリアルを作ったらいいんじゃないかとは僕も思ってて、
mm-hmm.
だから I mean there's so much like sequence information out there, like、mm-hmm. people have been like doing this metagenome sequencing、 なんかその環境ゲノムを読んで、
mm-hmm.
ものすごい量の情報があるけど、全部全然使い切れてない、
mm-hmm.
その中にはひょっとしたらまだ僕らが知らない化学反応をやってくれるタンパクもあるし、mm-hmm. だからそれのまあ、多分コンビネーションだと思います。その今まで生命が試してこなかった配列も試すし、
うん、
そこに例えばそのさっき新しい金属レアメタル入れてみるとか、
うん、
そのいろんなコンビネーションが考えられて、うん、でそのコンビネーションの一部ってのはひょっとしたら宇宙のどこかの星でもう別の生命がやってるか、
うん、
試してるかもしれないって
。 It's weird to think the far distantfuture universe、mm. could be dominated by secondary forms of life, and that sort of the original life、emerged life from chemistry is just obsolete and has been beaten out by、
yeah.
by manufactured、yeah. forms of life.
I totally agree. So that's life 2.0.、
Mm.
It's like、so. consciously, like intention emerged in the universe、
mm.
and manifested itself into life through the imagination of something else.
So, だから, maybe that second, you know, Life 2.0 will wipe out that original tree of life and just pretend that we're the origins. And
Yeah. Well, there's people that think that AI might do that to us.
Yeah, maybe we're a Life 2.0. If we are seated in the beginning, how can we know? We don't know that. And so maybe my origin of life journey, like journey to understand the origin of life, could be a dead end or could be a goal.
本当の本当のオリジンじゃないオリジンを追い求めてるかもしれないっていうのはそこはね、
you cannot deny that possibility.
Right.
So.
Right.
それはちょっとドキドキしますけどね、逆に。いや、でも本当によくできてるんですよね、生命ってね。本当によくできてる。
Yeah. What is going on? What is going on in this universe?
This whole universe?
Like, yeah, like what's the, what is this whole shtick?Like it's so like how can you ask the question better? You know, what do you think is this something to figure out? Is this something to just experience? Is it some like how do you think of like reality in the in the universe? Like what is it? Does it have meaning or there's no meaning?
I don't think there's a... I mean, meaning is something that we make, right? So
I don't know.
Meaning is something that we want to tie our interpretation or like...
Why should the universe exist at all? It would be very efficient for it to just disappear.
Well, then we need to ask, why is universe expanding? とかでしょ? だから,
yeah, it's even worse.
わからないですよね。
Yeah.
We don't even have the hint of like what's the dark energy that's expanding this universe, and we know that dark matter exists, but we cannot touch or monitor directly what dark matter is. So だから there's so many things out there that we don't know about, and we're just talking about the matter world. ね、またあの世界でのいろんな反応の話しか言ってないから、そっち側の向こう側でもまたいろいろ起きてたら、それはもうね、it's beyond our, well, at least for us, it's still beyond our, you know, knowledge, but one day we'll reach there, for sure. But, そうだね。まあでも、the faith of Earth, as I said before, the, eventually,all the water on this planet will be sucked in and become dry land. And then the sun will become bigger and bigger and then absorb this whole...
Is that a trivial event or is that the most significant event in the universe?
I think that's going to be one of the significant events for this planet because our whole record of the trace of biology will disappear. It's kind of sad.
So sad.
Do you think consciousness is common?In the universe or just life?
Oh, consciousness is coming from the network of information, right? So as long as there's an entity that exchange material or reaction or the combination of the reaction, then that will eventually lead to consciousness. And
like self-awareness even?
Self-awareness is actually 難しい。そこ僕もよくわからなくて、そのマルティセラリティとこういう神経ネットワークを得たからコンシャスネスが乗ってきたのか、あるいはコンシャスネスっていうものがすでにそのもうなんだろうなグラウンドベースで存在してるのかっていうのは、これは多分次の That's going to be like the post origin of life question. And there's actually some people already working on this like origin of the consciousness.
Because the consciousness seems to dictate so much ofwhat we do and what the sort of objects that end up around us, you know, are all just somebody's idea. And so we're taking all this stuff here and it's just being converted into like real things all over the place. And it's getting crazier and crazier. And, you know, with the Industrial Revolution and assembly lines, and we're just getting better and better at this, converting our ideas into things.
Yeah.So, well, I don't know whether we call that consciousness, but I would call it like imagination.
It's like some weird stage of life, though, right? monkeys aren't really doing.
But because monkeys doesn't have access to a bigger, like the energy that they can play around with, we've been like inventing new ways of extracting energy, like an industrial revolution, like nuclear power, nuclear fusion. So the amount of energy that we can play with is increasing.
Even like directing energy.
And directing energy
like
too.
Like a sharp stone is directing energy.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
So. To cut things, for example.
Yes.
Like diamond cutter. We're actually using water to cut diamonds.
Right. Yeah.
So the direction is that thing. But that leads to like manipulation. But all comes from our mind, like the imagination of how we want to shape our society, how we want to live. And that's something, I don't know, like...
Like, where did that stuff come from?
Yeah, because we originally, you know, we were like, life was like single-cell organism that were like competing each other, like try to, sometimes even try to kill off this other species and like just proliferate our own genomics.
Mm.
And at some point, they start to make all these different sensors and sense the world, like try to understand the world surrounding.
Yeah, the sensors thing is so weird.
So the origin of the sensor, I think, is the origin of the consciousness in a sense.
Because you have information like flowing into this thing, which is this anti-entropic entity, which manipulates its environment to its own advantage.
Yeah.
And then that just gets more and more and more intense.
Mm.
And it becomes more and more able to do that until eventually the word... This is like what they say in the Bible. The word becomes flesh. You know, eventually the idea finally like comes out, you know, and is manifested in some way. And it's just weird to think that, you know, where there was seemingly no thought or imagination before, now there is.
Yeah.
From a process that's mindless.
So this ne. Yeah, dakara ano sore wo bushitsu ni 移行してったところが面白いですよね。だって僕らのこの体だけだったら別にダイヤモンド切れないし、そのビルもね、まあ、ピラミッドは建てたけど石を切ったりして、でも限界があるわけですよね。 With just our body、
right.
But we are inventing all these different materials, like この金属を集めて、一箇所に金属を集めて、あのそれで新しいものを作るとか、電子の流れをコントロールしてっていうのがまさにそうですよね。
But even the pyramids required a sophisticated social structure that empowered someone to use that social structure. You know, I want to be in a fancy place when I die, kind of motive, but still.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah.
あ、そっか。だからそのマインドセットがどこから来るかっていうことですね。So where is that social structure comes from?
But like our social, there's some kind of, the evolutionary process is not necessarily for the individual actor, right? So there are these sort of emergent things that happen where you have an advanced social structure, you know, and maybe it needs to be based around a dictator or something so that they can have the organization needed to defeat some attacker, right? So there's information embedded in how the individuals are organized relative to each other.
Yeah, and that's actually dependent on the, for example, surrounding condition of that like social group. If there's no enemy surrounding, then they might have come up with a totally different structure. だから今結構地球面白くことになってて、だ国っていう多分コンセプトもあのあれですよ、できてきたのもいつからだろうな、多分そのリソースの、要はそのある意味リソース的に衝突が起きたり、あとはそういうあのジェネティカリーなグルーピングがされてきたことによって国っていう線ができてきて、でももし地球の土地がもし無限だったら、 もうどんどんどんどんスプレッドアウトしていって国は一切できなかったかもしれないから、うん、
確かに
ある意味この地球が有限であるっていうことがこのソーシャルストラクチャーを生んでると言ってもいいかもしれない、
うん、
だから maybe one of the reason why we want to go out into space is to kind of go back in time where people were exploring the unexplored places、うん、and like the frontier、うん、and basically so like the Americaの新大陸発見の今バージョン、うん、今の我々にとっての新大陸発見っていうのはそういう外の天体に出ていくことかもしれない、
うん、well,
populations that didn't pursue those sort of harsh evolutionary pressures、うん did not advance nearly as quickly、うん、and it's I think it's if you explore then you get more information and then you can exchange things with otherYou just, there's way more options when you explore, and that tends to empower the explorers versus people who stayed in the exact same place.
Right.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, if you grow up somewhere and then, you know, you move to some city and then you go, you know, travel the world and stuff, and then you go back to your hometown and there you meet people from your high school and some of them have just been in the same place, and they haven't gotten that much information and not that muchhas been catalyzed in them,
right.
you know? So I think the people that push on these boundaries will,
make a change.
They will be empowered for it.
Mm.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's nice to see people, you know, going out, try to go out in space and maybe those people are the one that are pushing, you know, will push our limits.You know, to the next level、
mm.
うん、でもそうかもしれない。でもだからそれでいいんだと思う。だってそれがこのなんだろう、全員が全員そうなっちゃったら
それはね、
あれだし、
でもバリエーションが大事だから、
You know, you're working on one of the scariest questions in the entire universe, reality, whatever's going on. The question, just the, I guess the possibility stillyet to be disproven、or ruled out, the possibility that we are the only、mm. life in the entire universe, the possibility that we are the only intelligence in the possible universe, and no matter how much we know that that might be unlikely,、mm. Until we know for sure,、mm. it's like, what? What if we are? What if we really、mm. are the only ones?、Mm. And we have this false sense of security, like, oh yeah, there's other life forms out there. But what ifYou know, the stakes of us having a nuclear war or something like that are actually much, much higher than we thought,、
mm.
you know, because we are so unique in the universe. And so, like, the whole context for our species depends on your work, you know, like is,、yeah. are we super, super important? And this is just like almost like a miracle. Like, we really need to、mm. take, you know, take care of this.And the terrifying idea that there's no one to help us. There's nobody to help us. Help ain't coming. Humans got to figure it out themselves, or that's it.
Yeah,、
know?
So they cannot physically... So, well, if we expect like, them to physically come over, maybe they're already transmitting their information you know, on some radio frequency or something. But still, yeah. So, well, one thing that...like 国立天文台、
mm.
like people, you know, they have an astrobiology center, and what they're doing is they're looking out into exoplanets,
right,
and seeing if there's any features of biological, you know, like chemical reaction ongoing, for example, production of oxygen and other methanes and type of gas that life produces、
mm.
and that's one way to actually, you know, actively look out for、mm. you know, life out there、mm. But may not be intelligent life. For、
right.
intelligent life, we probably need to keep our senses, you know, out, antennas, you、mm. know, active, and try to receive as much a signal as possible、
mm-hmm.
and let AI interpret it、yeah. because the way we currentlyWe're trying to find patterns in these signals、
mm.
and there are many like physical, how do you say, なんか mechanism, for example, mm-hmm. pulsar とか、
mm-hmm.
that makes certain given patterns.
Mm-hmm.
But there could be some weird patterns, non-random patterns under, you know, in the radio signal that we've been missing.
Mm-hmm.
So this is something that people should probably work on. And the other thing is, like Oumuamua,
mm-hmm.
We didn't know about this, but there seems to be many extra, you know, solar,
mm.
and an inter solar system. What's it called? Like, nanka, soto kara kuru, materialが結構あるから, we should keep an eye out on those. And it's actually very hard to spot them.
Yeah, those are the weird things. So, we get that special dense information from visitors from outside.
Mm.
Yeah, so. Yeah, maybe one of those could be some, I don't know, like invention of an extraterrestrial, like intelligent life.
Right.
So we should probably capture every single one of those objects.
Yeah.
It's better than pure gold.
Yeah.
You can't even
it'll
price it.
It'll change everything.
Like how much would you pay for like evidence, like in your hands, like right there, like you got it, like. The spacecraft comes back and here it is and you analyze it and you're adjusting your equipment. It's just like, wow.
だから
ミサイルとか作ってる場合じゃないですよ。
ね、本当そう。本当にそう。お金がもったいないよ。
もう早く月にベース作って、そこにもう全部そういうモニタリングするもうセンサー、望遠鏡つけて、常に監視して地球の周りに入ってくるありとあらゆるオブジェクトを監視して全部それを捕まえに行くっていうことをした方がいい、で、probably like 99.99% of those objects will be like obviously like you know, rare metal containing it's fine, it's like a rare metal containing like asteroids, and that's great, you can do like asteroid mining and it's going to be useful for making moon bases and like spaceports. But if 0.1% could be like something really weird.
Yeah. Well, Oumuamua was anomalous.
そうですね。なんか面白い、なんか葉巻型で、なんか it accelerated and yeah.
Ultima Thule was also weird because we thought it was two spheres attached, and then we did further analysis and it was two flat discs attached that we saw from the side.
That's weird.
So we thought it was a snowman, and it turned out they were both discs. They're flat. You know that.
What's
that
the chance of having two discs like?
Right. So are like 80% of them like merged discs, and they're not merged spheres like we thought they were, or did we just happen to the one that we went and looked at had this disc formation, but that's anomalous. So we don't know.
Yeah, I think we need more data to say whether it's real anomaly or not.
But we go look at things, and they're always weirder than we thought they would be.
I was actually really surprised that the Bennu and the Ryugu, like the one that Hayabusa 2 is have got sample back from, and the one that Crisis Rex is reaching, the two like asteroids look exactly the same. It's bizarre. それもちょっと面白いけどね。
Do you see the video from the surface?
Ah, yeah, I saw it. Yeah.
Or like a GIF.
ちょっとゴツゴツしてる。
Yeah, budget allocation ちょっと考え直してほしいね。
いや、本当に。
優先順位がちょっと間違ってる。
I have this dream that Japan falls in love with space and that all the engineering talent and all these other things really move towards the space industry, because I don't see that much of a future in most of the other industries that Japan used to be involved in. You know, so some car manufacturing companies or maybe companies that used to build cell phones or something can get into the micro satellite business, this kind of thing would be way, way cool.
Absolutely. So, いやこれを聞いてるね重工関係の人は
ぜひ、ぜひぜひシフトを考えていただいて、ちょっと分野をシフトして、
ね、
未来のためにね、
本当にいろんな多分人間にとっても、そういうアストロバロジーにとっても両方インパクトのある多分歴史に残る事業だと思うんですよね。その例えば月にそういう観測所を作ったりとか、スペースポートを作る。スペースポートを作ればね、and it really helps us traveling into deep space.
Mm-hmm.
And if we make the moon base and put some observatories, then we'll get all the observations surrounding right. Earth. And
if we make fuel, hydrogen fuel on the moon, then a lot of missions will be a lot cheaper and faster. You just refuel stuff at the moon and it just goes.
Right. That was actually funny. So when I was at NASA Ames, mm-hmm. The first mission that I saw was called LCROSS. And mm-hmm. what they did was they literally like bombarded moon.
Yeah.
South Pole の近くかな? なんか they basically dropped something super heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And then they monitored the ejecta by sending this probe. And this probe also crashed on moon. Until it crashed, it monitored everything that's coming out.
Wow.
And that's...
Did they monitor the probe impact as well?
No, the probe got destroyed. And but what they found was they found that in the ejecta, they found water like and carbon monoxide. So basically 5% of like Martian rock seemed to contain water. So much water on moon.
Mm.
And so you can extract water, split it into hydrogen and oxygen, use it as a fuel source for the rockets.
That sounds super easy to do because you can just set up solar energy on the moon long term, and there's no atmosphere, so that's good.
Yeah.
And then hydrolysis.
Electrolysis. And then if you want to...
it's totally doable.
It's doable. And you have a carbon monoxide, which means you can perhaps fix the carbon and make some organic molecules and use that to like feed, you know, plants or maybe some microbes can even use CO and carbon monoxide. So, だから結構ね、あと、then there's also all these different minerals too. So resource-wise, like moon seem to be very... Yeah, plausible.
So yeah, there's so much potential for cross-pollination between industries once people are going to space or once they do things on the moon. There's, you know, for the geneticists and for the engineers, you know, and it all kind of comes together in a beautiful, like, pragmatic way there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gotta feed the baby. Sorry.
Let's get someone.
Thanks so much for coming. This is
thank you so much for finally.
So fascinating.
Yes. なんか宣伝するものありますか？
宣伝そうですね。いや特に。
大丈夫ですか？
なんかもう話したいことを全部話せたから。
あよかった。
There's nothing left.
まあでもあのこのせっかくだからね、アストロバイオロジーっていう分野そのものはまだそこまで日本で有名というかアメリカではもうかなり浸透していて道行く人にアストロバイオロジーやってるって言ったらキュリオシティどうなってるのとかエンセラスのプルームすごいよねとかって言うんですけど、まだまだ日本だとアストロバイオロジーやってますって言うと宇宙人っているんですかって別にそれはいいんですけど、そこから一歩先の、もう少し、なんだろう細かい話とかもなんか皆さんとできるといいなと思ってるんで、なんか興味持ったらぜひ
ぜひぜひ。
And when is the? I guess it's not planned yet exactly. The mission you're working on or the plan you're working on for Enceladus.
そうですね。エンケラドスの生命探査はまだ本当コンセプトベースで、まだお金もついてない状態。でも、もちろん NASA も力を最近入れ始めたし、もう一個実は今日は言わなかったんですけど、財団があってアメリカに、なんだっけ。レーザーで小型衛星をこう打ってこう、ケンタウルス座アルファケンタウルス座までなんか行くっていうスターショット計画っていうのをやってる財団があるんですけど、そこも最近エンケラドスに力を入れ始めていて、なんかコンセプトスタディみたいなのやってて、で JAXA は JAXA で今矢野はじめさんっていうもともとはやぶさの、に関われていた方と今やってるんで、こちらもね、ぜひ形にしたいなと思っているので、
今後に注目。
It's accelerated with a laser.
そのスターショットは、you accelerate this really tiny space probe with a laser from Earth, and then you accelerate up to like 40% of the light speed so that it can reach to Alpha Centauri in like 30, 40 years.
So you don't break.
It
just
break.
It just goes right past it.
And then right past it.
Hopefully an alien
and take a photo and send it back. っていうことをやってる面白い財団もあって、 そうそうそう。 で、 その所長、実はその、なんだっけな、相談役の人が、 元 AIMS の NASA AIMS の所長だったりして、
なるほど。
そうなんですよ。 まあでもそのね、 エンケラドスの生命探査は絶対に実現、 10年以内に、軌道に乗せてやりたいですね。 ただ、 コンセプトできて探査機作って飛ばし、そこまでに例えばまた5年かかるとして、そこから飛ばして 7、8年かかって帰ってくるとか考えると、僕の次の世代ぐらいかな、その解析をするのは。 So we need younger generation. Like we need, you know, young researcher.
これ聞いてる若者はぜひ参加してほしいです。
ぜひ。あとはもう地球の生命そのものに起源とかに興味ある人も絶賛募集中なんで。Origin of life in the universe. まあ地球もユニバースの一部だから。興味ある人はぜひ。あのサイトもありますもんね。あのエルシーの。そうですね。エルシーのウェブサイト見てもらえれば。You
know, if you find the answer, you help find the answer, you will help. Explain something to literally everyone on Earth will learn something. Like yep. everyone will learn something about themselves. So, you know, it's about all of us.
So it's about where we come from.
So yeah. we're all on your shoulders. Our expectations and hopes.
お願いします。お願いします。ありがとうございました。
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.